Hello. Thank you for joining us as I continue my series of wellness interviews. These interviews are a huge opportunity for all of our listeners to receive insights from wellness experts that can result in life-changing decisions. Again, welcome. I'm Dr. Terry Ronberg, president of the World Chiropractic Alliance and the developer of Bioenergy, which is a brain-based form of wellness care. We all know nothing in life stands still, and health-changing discoveries and neuroscience are no exception. I've dedicated my career to lifetime subluxation-based family wellness care. Almost 43 years, Richard. I've always had a vision of worldwide wellness, and I remain very interested in the development and the training that moves our profession forward. I'm a dedicated advocate for wellness care. I've always had a vision of worldwide wellness. It's inside the logo of the World Chiropractic Alliance. And I remain very interested in the development and training that moves our profession forward. I'm very interested in seeing the public become empowered. They rely on us to provide them with our best strategies. And worldwide, I've also trained thousands of doctors, hopefully always with passion and purpose. And over the years, I've had the tremendous privilege of meeting and working with so many different influential and highly respected doctors of chiropractic and many other health advocates. First, many years ago in 1974, I had the honor of meeting Paul Bragg, which changed my life dramatically, at a DE meeting before there was a Life University. I got to become friends with Jack LaLanne, and I studied under Randolph Stone and Clarence Gonstead, John Grostick and Sid Williams, Tom Gilardi and Reggie Gold, Major D. Jarnett and Vern Pierce. And Jay Cordish was my neighbor and a good friend. He was also known as a juice man. They've all been remarkable, inspiring motivators and experts in healing. And I personally appreciate all that I've gained from everything they've taught me, and I'm honored to have met and worked with so many amazing people, many of whom I consider colleagues and still personal friends. Now, this is a rare treat today because my guest is not only a valued colleague, but he's a friend, and that's Dr. Richard Barwell. Richard is highly respected and in demand. So thanks for taking the time to be here today, Richard. I know you're flying to London tomorrow. And before we continue, I want to tell our listeners more about you, even though most of these doctors probably already know who you are. This is going out to over 30,000 chiropractors. And Dr. Richard Barwell, you should know, is the founder and president of the Chiropractic Equity Offices, Inc. He has more than 32 years of experience in chiropractic practice. He graduated from Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College with honors in 1964. His family wellness practice in British Columbia had a PVA of over 180, which is incredible. Dr. Barwell is an international speaker and a leader in our profession. He's the developer of neurologically based chiropractic and the NeuroInfinity. And he has authored a book, Why You Get Sick and How Your Brain Can Fix It. And I know you're writing another book now. Dr. Porter told me about this coming out soon. And I'm so glad I can help more people hear from Dr. Barwell live, up close and personal. I had dinner with Richard in Canada at a seminar many years ago when he first introduced me to his concept of neurologically based chiropractic. I'm sure he chuckles when he thinks about that dinner, but I was fascinated from the beginning, and Richard's played a huge role in redefining how I view chiropractic. Now, today, with what you hear from Richard, you can expect to have the principles of neurologically based chiropractic recharge your spirit with passion and healing. Richard helps doctors overcome challenges and frustrations that often seem insurmountable and lead to burnout. Now, Richard, before we get you started digging deep into neuroscience and chiropractic, I would like you to tell our listeners about your neurologically based chiropractic call series, how they can access your series, and if you can share any links with them so they know how to find out more.
You bet. By the way, thank you for the opportunity to be on your calls. You and I have had the privilege of working together over the years, and it's always been exciting, and it's always a thrill to see where it's going to go.
Well, I left so many things out of our history and your history. You've accomplished so much more than I've just barely scratched the surface.
Well, it's been a great ride, and yes, we do have a call series. It's called the Neurologically Based Chiropractic, or NBC call series. And matter of fact, we had to shift today's timing on this recording because I had that call going on today and I messed up the time on it. But yes, and it's a great call series. What we do with that is we continually research articles on the latest updates on neural research and how it applies to chiropractic and chiropractic practice. And then we not only discuss what the papers are, but I have put together a group of papers with a little comment on it called The Truth of the Matter, where I discuss it from a chiropractic standpoint. And the idea of this is not only does the doctor get informed, and we have people like Dr. Patrick Porter, Dr. Rich Applin, Dr. Tim Merrick, Dr. Joe Demian, these are all people that come on and we discuss what's going on. Dr. Laura Hansen, phenomenal people. And you think you're going to be interviewing some of these people along the way, which is going to be great. But we discuss what's going on, and then there's a handout to use in your office so you can keep the topics in your office focused on neurologically based chiropractic rather than pain reduction. And when I say that, you know, I know we've done a great job over the years in chiropractic as a pain reducer and making people's lives easier. But the problem with that was, and this is what I discovered when I was my years in practice, is that, you know, when I see kids responding that were brain damaged children and under chiropractic care coming back to life, I realized that there was just so much that we were missing by just focusing on, you know, structure and pain. Saying that there's,
yes,
there's stuff going on here that we need to be paying attention to. And this isn't new. You and I have had lots of discussions about the history of chiropractic and the fact that this is where the focus was to begin with a long time ago.
I'm going to ask you some questions about that in a minute. I want everyone to hear what I heard that night we spent together at dinner and understand the history and understand how we've evolved to where we are today.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you can't be in practice any length of time. If you're paying attention as a chiropractor and you're watching what's going on, and I think probably the moment of my truth was sort of a stages of it, but there was an incident where I was doing manual adjusting like I was taught. And I was getting good results, as you saw what happened in my practice. But I had some patients that I couldn't get results with. So I referred them to my friend, who is a high school friend, chiropractor. We went through chiropractic college together. He was practicing about two blocks down the road, and he was using activator method. Well,
right.
At that time, there was a lot of people that were very upset with people doing activator, saying it wasn't chiropractic. So she went down there and got relief. And so my thoughts on this was, wait a minute, something is going on here that I need to understand. And maybe it's not about the manual adjustment. Maybe it's something else that we're doing. And that's the kind of thing that started to force me into questioning about why chiropractic worked. What happened with that was when I sold my practice, I went to work for Guy Reichman when he was running the Quest program. He asked me to come down and join him. I sold my practice. I went down, and I met a person by the name of Dr. Annette Long. She's a psychologist. She worked with chiropractors. She was an extraordinary human being and still is. And her husband were pioneers in bio and neurofeedback. They've spent 25 years doing research in neurofeedback. And we got into a discussion about chiropractic after several times. They were dear friends. And one of the evenings, we were sitting around together, and I had been thinking and thinking and thinking about this. And I finally turned to Dr. Byers, and I said, you know, Dr. Byers, I think that what the chiropractic adjustment does is actually change brain function. Well, that was not well received, because I just went in and took his 25 years and said, what I'm doing is what you're doing. And he said, I don't think so. So we decided that we would do a little experiment, and we started working on, we had five people in the room, and we did an EEG brain study. He did it. And then I adjusted people, and then we waited 20 minutes just for the, it was an arbitrary number. And then we did a post scan, and we saw changes. And he said, being a researcher, I don't think this is concrete evidence here. I think maybe us and maybe the room. So I, yeah, exactly. And I have to admit, I love him because of that. So he said, well, we need to look into this. And I said, great, you're going to travel with me when we're putting on our seminars, and you're going to be doing these. I'll pay for the way. We'll gather the information and do the research. And he was game to do this, which was really nice. We first started out with what was called the null hypothesis, saying the chiropractic didn't do anything. It took about three sessions of doing maybe 10 pre and post before he said, there is something else major going on here. And we thought that maybe the chiropractic adjustment created alpha brainwaves, which is a healing relaxation brainwaves. Well, that was too restrictive. As we continued together, we spent 3 years doing pre and post EEGs, pre and post adjustments, using different approaches and different techniques. We saw massive changes in brain function from chiropractic, whether it was light touch, whether it was manual adjusting or instrument adjusting. It didn't seem to matter. What mattered more was the appropriate application. And we can get into that in a bit.
And that's where the study, the effect of the chiropractic adjustment on the brainwave pattern as measured by EEG comes from.
That's exactly where it comes from. I put that together out of all
Richard
of this.
Richard Barwell, Annette Long, Alva Byers, Craig Schisler.
Yep, and we had to have, thank goodness for Craig, a young graduate, because he knew how to put a paper together.
Right.
To me, you know, I'm an old graduate. Doing a paper was delivering a paper in the morning. I didn't have any idea how to put it together, so Craig put it together for us. And it got published. We actually, what it was accepted by Ralph Boone. You remember Dr. Ralph Boone?
Dr. Ralph Boone was my first editor of the Journal of Vertebral Subluxation Research that worked for me for 2 years.
Well, a fantastic guy. I had put the paper out to be published, and some political situations got involved. And so I withdrew the paper, and I happened to send it to Ralph Boone. And he immediately phoned me and said, oh, my gosh, this thing is really important. Can we put it in for the Sherman International Paper Symposium? I said, please. So he put it in. It got accepted. I went and did the presentation in front of tenured professors doing live reviews. I mean, it was quite a nice experience.
Wow.
And it won the best paper for that particular year. And then, you know, that started it. And now there's been another paper come out from New Zealand, Taylor and Murphy, phenomenal,
right.
Backed it up. And now there's a third paper that's even better that came out of Japan that shows how the chiropractic adjustment affects specific areas of the brain. So here's what happened. Here's the exciting moment for all of this for me. I went like, oh, my God. We have been so focused as chiropractors on the subluxation for so many years, we've not been paying attention to why.
I call it the osseous subluxation.
Yeah, the osseous subluxation, the structural misalignment. That was our focus. We spent millions of dollars in research looking at this thing instead of looking at why the adjustment worked.
Yes.
And when we looked at why the adjustment worked, we realized that the adjustment, no matter how it's administered, is a neurological pattern interrupt. I can hear Joe Felicia talking in the background right now, talking about pattern interrupts, but he never was able to put this together this way.
Well, they didn't have the science then.
No.
Well, we have now, since poor Joe, since he's passed, you know, we have real neuroscience supporting what you're saying.
And it didn't come from us. It came from what was going on in the field of neuroscience research that went like, oh, my gosh. And not only that, if we look back at the last 50 years of the research that the people doing neural feedback have been doing, and they're mostly all of them are psychologists, they have done incredible amounts of work showing how that neural feedback system is so important. So the research is already in place. We were looking in the wrong direction. And when we started looking in this other direction and saw what the adjustment did, it opened the doors. And that's what's happened. And so that developed this concept of saying, you know, guys, all due respect, but the vertebral subluxation kept us locked into the mode of structure. We started looking at bones and joints. And look what's happened. You know, I just got back from my 50th reunion from CMCC. And I went through the college. And all I saw through the college was 100% structure and joint motions. And all the research departments are doing wonderful work at it. But you know what? It's physical therapy. It's not
chiropractic. Sure it is.
And so it sells ourselves short. Not only does it sell ourselves short in chiropractic, but in our pocket money too, because in doing so, we limit our scope of practice and we limit our income. And the field is getting saturated out there when it comes to physical medicine. Why do we want to play in that field when we can do all this other stuff?
Well, let's get started, Richard, because I have some questions. I want to focus in on some very specific areas so the profession can hear your thoughts expressed on these topics, because these are very specific relating to what you're talking about right now. And so the title of today's interview is How the Neuroinfinity Can Rock Your Chiropractic World. That's what it did for me. A little side note, I would not be the chiropractor I am if you had not opened up the window for me to look through. And I've written 5 books in chiropractic. I've sold 2.5 million copies of Chiropractic First. I'm writing my newest book on bioenergy, which is a system that I developed based on my experience with you and the Neuroinfinity. And being able to see these changes in stress levels instantly and being able to use other systems that like I use the integrative outcome measurement as a very subjective way of measuring quality of life. But all the protocols that I use were formed around the Neuroinfinity, because the Neuroinfinity is proof. It's objective proof that what we're doing is affecting the nervous system and the levels of stress based on what the nervous system needs. It's absolutely nourishing the brain, as far as I'm concerned. So our original theory, as you know, is that misalignments or subluxations cause pressure on spinal nerve roots, creating interference, and in turn causing the body's life support systems to lose normal function. We were taught this, Richard. Joe and Easy taught us this as well in Renaissance. We were taught that vertebral subluxation was the cause of all forms of disease.
Yep.
Do you believe this theory holds true today?
No.
Why?
Because, you know, it's a simple, very simple statement, 3 questions. And first of all, here's the problem. The bones and joints do nothing on their own. So this becomes about the chicken or the egg. So if the bones and joints do nothing on their own, how can they be the cause of the problem? Something had to you know, I'm not saying that there isn't that vertebral fixation in there, that there isn't some spinal misalignment or misaction going on. But the problem is the bones couldn't create it because they don't do anything on their own. So if that's not the cause, we need to say, what moves the bones?
Well, I think D.D. Palmer and B.J. Palmer knew this. You know, in 1910, that quote that we shared,
yep,
you know, from D.D. Palmer's book, The Adjuster, he said the majority of chiropractors work with a concept that they are the all-important feature of adjusting subluxations, that it is what they do that replaces a subluxation, and it is with this thought they proceed to push vertebrae into the position they think they need to be pushed into. Think about all the techniques you and I have studied. Every one of those techniques focuses on adjusting, in their minds, means pushing bones into adjusted positions, whether they're trying to improve joint function or straighten a spine, like I learned at Logan, or putting in curves, like so many of the techniques teach. D.D. Palmer said, I never had such a concept. He said, my work is an enticement to get innate to make the adjustment. It's exactly what you're saying.
Ex- Exactly. And we now can look at what that meant from that level. He tried to trace it down when he was using the electroencephaloneuromagnetograph. That he developed this instrument to try to find out where the interference was in the message within the nervous system. He found, where's this impairment?
Yeah, but he was measuring, what was he measuring, EKGs?
He was measuring everything from the skin conductance, because you take a look what's going on with it, to skin temperature. You take a look at the equipment that he built. It's just
mind-boggling. I have. It's a Sherman in their museum.
It's mind-boggling.
It's random. It's radio tubes. I mean, it was he spent $1 million building this thing when $1 million was really $1 million.
Yeah.
And it didn't have the capability to do what your neuro infinity can do 1,000 times more than that machine. Can you imagine if BJ Palmer had a neuro infinity?
Oh, this is the thing. I keep feeling a smile over my shoulder with this because, you know, it's like that's what we were looking for. That's the bottom line.
He said it, though. He said it in the big idea. Stevenson wrote it, and Galen Price stated the purpose in chiropractic was to assist the brain with the transmission of mental impulses between the brain and all the parts of the body.
That's exactly it.
Mental impulses, Richard.
Yep. And therein lies the challenge with where I was. Once we understood that the adjustment was affecting the central nervous system, the brain and its function, and we could show this, and we could measure it down to a millionth of a volt showing what was going on, we went, how do we get this into the chiropractic office? I mean, you can't put a PET scan in every chiropractic office. Besides that, you're going to radiate the heck out of people.
Sure.
So what I ended up doing was, I ended up going like, you know what, if these psychologists have been doing all this research and there's people out there with equipment that does neurofeedback, why can't we put the program together with what they've got? And so we went to the top company in the world that deals with 40% of the neurofeedback equipment. This is the company that deals with the top research equipment. And we sat down with them and told them what we wanted, and they said, okay, we can do that. Now, the story is much more convoluted than that, believe me.
I have sat down and talked to these gentlemen many times, I remember.
And so,
carry this out for a second. Why, can you explain to the profession, because you're the, you know, you're my eye-opener, why has it been so difficult for chiropractic to provide acceptable scientific evidence that it's effective so we can end the negativity against our profession once and for all? We worked on CCB guidelines together. Why is that so hard now that we have the ability?
I think there's two factors at least involved in this. One of them is there is a dogma in the profession that just locks the profession into saying all you need to have is philosophy and that's it. And we just need to know that chiropractic works. We don't need any proof. And so they go about this sort of blind-eyed. And that's a real challenge because you're never going to progress if that's what you do with the profession. You actually hold it back. That's the one side of it. The other side is, and I'm going to be a little harsh with this, there's a laziness in the profession. I mean, chiropractors can get by just doing what they do, and, you know, they get pretty good results. But what if you could get better results? And that's the part that gets me, is saying, you know, we have a commitment to this profession that we need to improve the profession. We can't just sit back and let it go by. And so that's what really pushes me, it's been a
long
time.
Well, you and I have had this discussion before, but I want to have it in front of 30,000 doctors now, because you need to articulate how this affected our profession. The chiropractic profession over the last 119 years continues to grow. More chiropractic colleges were started around the world. The numbers of chiropractors increased. The professional associations developed. Chiropractic was included in many health insurance plans. The chiropractic colleges continue to raise the standards of education, even though research has never provided scientific evidence that our basic theory of chiropractic was true. And we accepted the fact, and I'm one of those guilty parties. I owned the Journal of Vertebral Subluxation Research, and it took me 10 years of doing that to realize that we just lacked the funding and or the ability to be able to prove what so many doctors still believe, Richard, that vertebral subluxation is the cause of disease. Chiropractic colleges, I think, were forced to shift their education from philosophical principles. I saw the, you know, I saw the change when CCE came in, to joint dysfunction, focusing on straightening spines or fixing curves, and physical therapy. And doctors who wanted to bill insurance companies became back specialists who treated pain, car accident victims, and workers' comp injuries. And it was about the money. So in my opinion, that it's pretty clear. But how do you think this affected our profession?
You just have to go and see what's going on at the colleges. What's happening now is we know that while we have more chiropractors, more chiropractic colleges, all of a sudden the chiropractors are seeing less of the public than they've ever seen before. It's a diminishing profession. And part of the reason is this crazy thing that came in called insurance. And when the insurance came in, the only way we could get included in payment is to come up with a diagnosis. Because the insurance is based on the medical model. And the minute we came up with a diagnosis, we turned into an arm of medicine, because medicine diagnoses and treats diseases. Chiropractic does not do that. Chiropractic, if the one function and intent of chiropractic should be and should always be to improve neurological function, period. We don't need a diagnosis.
Is there any specific research that's given chiropractic a stronger foundation than our original theory?
Oh, I think the three papers that are out right now are just absolutely stunning.
What about all the research that was done by the neurofeedback people and the psychologists for all those years? Can't we use that research to support, now that we have a language, Richard, that is congruent with their own in neuroscience, we should be able to bridge those gaps.
Oh, absolutely, if the chiropractic profession will wake up. And I'll tell you this, I lecture around the world. I lecture at chiropractic colleges and to chiropractic associations around the world. And I tell you that there is a movement afoot. It is underway. Chiropractic is looking at becoming strictly a functional neurologist profession. And those are the people that are going to absolutely explode this profession the way it was supposed to in the first place. The colleges are not focusing on that yet. Remember, the colleges are going to be the last ones to change. They're teaching within a structure that was accepted by them, and that's where they're working. What's going to happen is the colleges that pick up this the first time and say, we're focusing on the nervous system, we're getting away from the diagnosis and treatment of disease, are going to be the colleges that are going to be successful and succeed. The rest of them are going to fade.
Well, so, I would think so, and maybe they should.
And it's time, you know, and it's a hard thing to swallow when you and I were both, you know, educated on this basis, and we defended it, and we fought for our life because we had nothing else that we could support except vertebral subluxation. We saw that as being chiropractic, and God help anybody who attacked that, because they were attacking our basic roots. And then we fought hard for it. Yeah, very hard. And to, for you to change your stance and look at this thing and have the open-mindedness to be able to say, oh, my gosh, there's something else going on here, I need to stop for a minute, that takes a lot of courage.
Well, you know, you did it, and I did it after you did it, and I looked at it, and I thought, you know, I really withdrew for about 5 years and spent my time with the NeuroInfinity and with some thermography equipment and with my IOM measurements, and I examined hundreds, almost 1,000 people for before and afters to see and to know. I spent time, I went to Ken Vinton's, and I saw, and I studied with Rick Wiegand, who I got all these quotes from, by the way, about the Palmers. And I got so much information from Jeff Rockwell and Rich Applin and you, I mean, all the people that you've introduced me to who worked in CCP. That's the future. I mean, I believe 1990 was known as a decade of the brain. That's when a lot of this started to come out. And then, you know, this decade is probably known as a decade of consciousness. How has this new knowledge affected our profession? I have the vision you have, but I haven't seen it happen yet. Am I missing something? Is it happening in some of the schools already?
Oh, it is happening. I can tell you this, that there are neural clubs around. One of the exciting moments, I went and spoke to the body, student body at Logan, and the group that came out there to listen to me speak was really interesting, because included in that group was the neurological or the neurology professor for Logan. And when I got finished my two-hour talk, he stood up, and I was sort of going like, oh, here it comes. He said, I have been vindicated. He said, I've been trying to tell people this for years. Thank you.
Oh, who is that?
I don't even remember his name, but he's still at Logan. And what happened was we signed up 23 people, students, and they formed the Neuro Club right there on the spot. And
wow.
That Neuro Club has been just going like great guns. Now there's a
I interviewed Corey St. Dennis just a week ago, and he must have been one of those people, because he's got a brilliant vision for neurologically based chiropractic and brain based wellness care, and he gets it.
He's the future, you know, and he's not alone. There is a whole group of them, and these guys,
wow,
they drive. When we put on our training, we extend an invitation to students, and we extend it to life. We do them in Atlanta. We extend them to life. We have two or three from life. We have like five or six that drive from St. Louis to Atlanta to come to the training all the time, to just sit there and be there as students. And I'm looking at these guys going like, I don't know if this profession is ready for the quality of these young guys that are coming out, young guys and women.
Wow,
that's
so encouraging
coming.
To hear. Oh. I hope all the doctors that are listening right now realize it's not too late for them. If I could do this at 55 years old, they can certainly do it in their 40s and 30s. And I just can't think of anything more exciting for the profession.
We have a doctor. We got a doctor who is in his 80s. And we've got a couple of them that have come down, taken the training, gone back. But this one guy, he phoned up and he said, I love this. This is what I thought chiropractic was supposed to be. I'm taking my practice from pain to brain. And
we went,
can we use that? And he said, of course you can. So we use that slogan. But this is from an 80-year-old who's been in practice for like 60 years.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
it
was stated when he went to Palmer, right? And
and
BJ stated this, I mean, in the 20s and 30s, he said, quote, the misalignment is but an osseous symptom of a subluxation, and any attempt at realignment would be a treatment upon effect and not an adjustment of cause.
And boy,
it couldn't have been more clear.
And he can say that because of the attitude of straightening spines that was out and prevalent, you got to have a straight spine, he ended up with a double scoliosis. Because they straightened his spine, but it was bent spinuses, not spinal distortion.
I recommend every doctor purchase a Neuro Infinity and prove, if nothing else, how powerful their brain is. And if they take my course in bioenergy, they'll see how powerful bioenergy can be for the brain, because a Neuro Infinity measures it. It demonstrates how bioenergy affects brain waves. I'm sure all the techniques you could use it, but heart rate variability, heart rate, skin conductance, temperature, respiration rate, and muscle activity. The first time I looked at a Neuro Infinity scan, I thought it was voyeurism on God. I really did, Richard. I thought, oh, my God, this is incredible. I'm spying on the inside of living spirit affecting physiology. It was the closest I've ever seen to what I read, or maybe Sigafoos told me years ago, that the best adjustment is uniting the flesh and the spirit.
You know,
and
Sigafoos,
it was visible on your scanner.
And Sigafoos took a look at this, and he said, this was Sigafoos' comment, this is real chiropractic.
Yeah,
what an honor
there you go.
To have Sigafoos
and he
say
knew.
That. Yeah.
He knew. You believe the focus of chiropractic, like I do, has moved from straightening spines to improving nervous system function. That's why Sigafoos said what he said. This is really what you've done in NBC, and what I'm trying to do in bioenergy is really based on the original theory of chiropractic and the nervous system, don't you think?
Yeah, and I want to talk about bioenergy, and I want to talk about your approach, because here's the
thing.
Here's what we are finding. We've looked at thousands and thousands of what we call stress response evaluations, the NeuroInfinity Report, where we're looking at cortical brain function and autonomic nervous system balance. And we've seen that about 95% of the people that we do worldwide are in a state of over-arousal. Their stress levels are off the end of the board. The systems are out of balance. And so here we have now sympathetic syndromes going on everywhere with beta activity, people in pain. And if you're doing too much work with these people, if you're doing...
You're over-arousing.
You're creating more trouble than was there.
Yes.
We want to be able to access the parasympathetics. Where do you access the parasympathetics? Well, first of all, you're going to do less dynamic work, and you're going to work cranial sacral work. Gee whiz, you think that maybe what you've developed addresses those issues?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so we need more and more techniques that address this type of challenge. And
well,
so
less
is
more,
wound down.
In my experience.
Yep.
I mean, neuroscience tells us that 10 to 20% of the brain's electrical energy is all it's capable of producing. The rest of its electricity is generated through movement, specifically the stimulation of mechanoreceptors, you know, that send the electricity into the brain where it can be used to sustain life. And that's all we do. I mean, we're trying to affect the brain so ineffective habits of posture movement can be replaced with newer ones, with flexibility and vitality. I don't do that. The body does it. The brain does it. The brain, in my opinion, Richard, and I take this from Mark Madsen and all the people at the National Institute of Health that I read their research, it's the brain that controls all physiology, posture distortion, stress levels, stiffness, disease, immune function, health, quality of life, all of it. I think that's why Sigafoo said this is real chiropractic.
See, you know, we go right back to what I was saying, but you know, the bones don't do anything on their own, so they can't be the cause. The muscles move the bones, and not only the bones, the muscles move everything else in the body, but they don't do anything on their own. So
we were
making love in all the wrong places here. We were taking care of the structural stuff, the tertiary response, instead of going like, why is that happening?
Well, you know, when I learned to meditate in India over 40 years ago, and I was talking to my teacher about the kundalini down in the sacrum, he said, and he wanted me to focus on the top of the forehead, he said, why would you start at the bottom of the mountain when you can start at the top? I thought, that makes sense. Why are we focused on stimulating mechanoreceptors? They send the information into the brain so the body can regulate its physiology better. I mean, opening up those energy blocks so the life force can flow throughout the human body and restore itself. Boy, your instrument is so critical to be able to show that change. For doctors that don't know it and maybe don't believe us, all they have to do is look at it. Like you said, stop being lazy and open your mind. You know what? I always used to say this, Richard. The mind is like a parachute. It only works if it's open.
Yeah. and
you know, we're all aware that stress plays a major role in our health. How does stress play a role in this new direction for chiropractic? I have my own belief on the amygdala and the stress fight or flight response. How would you describe that to doctors listening?
This our biggest problem, and if you take a look, we've got research now that has been done by the various, not just one, various medical organizations that come
Harvard.
Up and say, listen, 95% of all illnesses and diseases are caused by stress.
The Center for Disease Control says it. They said 95% of the diseases people die from every year could be prevented if they just changed their lifestyle. And we know that if they improve the function of their brain, that's going to change their lifestyle a lot.
And
I mean, when Harvard does studies and John Hopkins doing studies, and all these people are measuring, you know, David Feinstein, you know, at John Hopkins did incredible research from more than a dozen countries suggesting exactly what you're saying. That if
you need to be able to know where to approach this. And here's the research was done in 2000. It was published in JMPT saying chiropractic adjustments improve the autonomic nervous system. But the autonomic nervous system is the bottom end of that, of the top
sure
level.
Is.
And so
sure
what you need to do is you need to get to that hardwiring cortex, which is set up by our experiences that are driven by our emotions, all on the subconscious level. But you need to have a picture to be able to see that. I mean, we can talk about it, but you have to have a picture. And that's what we were able to do with the NeuroInfinity. We can show what kind of EEG patterns, what kind of cortical patterns have been set up in there, and how they're distorted by different types of stressors and recovery. And the cool thing about this was you can do this live time. If you really
yes.
want to play with your technique, you hook people up live time, you do the technique, and you watch what's happening. And
Richard,
that's what
I did
doctor,
it on hundreds of people.
You had Dr. Porter on,
it.
Right?
Pardon me?
You had Dr. Patrick Porter on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just, and that's what brought him into this whole game, was we did his unit live time and showed how his unit actually created theta frequencies within that 10 to 20 minute session of doing the mind fit. And,
incredible.
And that, he took a look at this and said, oh my gosh. Now, he did this as a a scientific researcher. Can you imagine the acceptance of chiropractic now when we can show them this instead of saying, well, I know it works because we get results?
Richard, I'm telling you, if we're able to show how we can affect the brain in a positive way, we win. We'll have more patients in chiropractors' offices than anyone ever dreamed of.
It's a
but we've never been able to prove what we've never been able to prove the old theory, which is why people, I think, have been so negative towards our profession.
Well, we ended up with that, the profession. And here's what we saw at my time in chiropractic college. I was there from 60 to 64, and that was a change over time. You realize that I was in chiropractic college when BJ died.
Yeah.
And I was taught by the people that were taught by him. And it's really interesting. I find myself in this stepping stone between the old and the new direction. And
you're building a bridge.
Wow. Yeah,
you built a bridge for me. You know how much I appreciate your leadership and the knowledge and expertise you have. I mean, I'm curious, where do you want to go from here? What do you still want to achieve with neurologically based chiropractic?
I want to see where this next generation is going to take this, because to me, this is just the beginning. This isn't the end. This is the door opener that I've been able to at least answer some frustrating questions in my life with chiropractic that I love dearly. And I want to see this. I want to see the barricades come down. I want this profession to get back together and go like, you know what? This doesn't forsake our philosophy.
It maintains it.
Oh, it does.
I tell people, don't give up what you're doing for bioenergy. Don't give up. I'd like them to give up their x-rays, but don't give up your other protocols if you have them, but include the NeuroInfinity. Include Porter's, his self-mastery technology.
Yeah.
Include these things. Don't take away what you don't have to get rid of anything you're doing. Just add to it. It's through the process of evolution that we'll be able to influence the world about brain health on a cellular level using all the research the neuroscientists have done on neuroplasticity to show that we hold this phenomenal promise for the world. With all the baby boomers, what are there, 76 million now?
Yeah.
There's going to be 250 million in 15 years. They're all worried about dementia. They're all worried about Alzheimer's. I share your passion for brain-based wellness care. That's why I worked on bioenergy the last 5 years. That's why I'm ready to come out and make this happen for you and me and everyone else who's on board with us, because brain health is already becoming mainstream in research and theory. I mean, look at Lumosity. They're all over the place talking about retraining the brain. We should own that, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. You look at Scientific American. They put out a magazine. This was like 8 years ago. They just thought they tried this, and they called it The Mind. Well, it disappeared off the shelf within 24 hours. You couldn't find that thing anywhere.
Sure.
And then they said, whoa.
I read it online.
Here. And it's incredible. And you'll find articles in there. And if you understand chiropractic from that neurological perspective, every one of those articles deals with chiropractic.
Beautiful.
It doesn't deal with medicine. It deals with chiropractic and what we have to offer. So it's like, you've got to open the door, folks, the possibility and the potential for you and your practice. And not only that, for your community, what you can start to do in your community is what you dreamed you could do before you got messed up at college.
Yeah, exactly. Well, unlearning stuff sometimes is the key to growth. I think the time has never been better. People should contact you. They should learn what neurologically based chiropractic is. They should get a NeuroInfinity. You know, the knowledge and practice of what I do in bioenergy and what you're doing creates an opportunity for chiropractic to enhance our practice objective from pain relief, posture improvement, and joint motion to improved brain function. That can catapult us into the next dimension of pure chiropractic care.
And we can take over.
And you're largely responsible for this, because I would not be doing what I'm doing if not for having dinner with you many years ago and you explaining this to me. So I'm really honored to be able to allow so many people to hear your wisdom. And how are listeners going to contact you, Richard? What number, what email address, what website can they use to get a hold of you if they want more information?
They can get a hold of the best person to do it, because I'm on the road traveling and speaking for the next 7 weeks. I'm not home. They can get hold of DD, that's D-E-D-E, at NeuroInfinity. That's all one word, NeuroInfinity. And Infinity is spelled with an I on the end, not a Y, .com.
Uh-huh.
And the phone number, and I got to get Dee Dee's new phone number, Susan. We just changed the phone number. And you can call her, and she can get you in touch with me or you have questions. My email address is drbarwell@neuroinfinity.com. So you can email me at that and get involved. Here's Dee Dee's phone number.
Okay.
It's 877-391-9662. Okay, and
beautiful.
And Terry, before we end with this thing, and I think we've got some time yet, but I just want to say something that a lot of people don't know. There's a program out there called the Chiropractic Philanthropist. Dr. Ed Osborne up in Edmonton, Alberta, in that area. I would suggest you get him on and do an interview with him. He is just amazing. But, you know, what happened with this is we're talking about giving back to the profession, and that's
right.
That's what he called it. And people don't know what you've given back to the profession. They saw Terry that, you know, rah rah, way you go, and the Chiropractic Journal, and the, you know, the WCA, great work that you did. But they also don't recognize that you're the guy behind the CCP guidelines. In as I'm vice president of the CCP guidelines and have been on now for several years, people need to understand that this was your baby. You put the money up, you got the people together, you got it registered as a viable organization, and I know that you spent hours and hours and hours, let alone thousands of dollars, getting this to happen. And what we have today, because of the work you put in, we have a set of guidelines that is the most used guidelines worldwide to determine the scope of practice of chiropractic. If every chiropractor hasn't got this on their computer, they should have. They need to read it. They need to look at it and say, this is who I am. This is my scope of practice, and here's the proof to be able to stand behind making the claims of what chiropractic can do. And so, you know, this is a big hats off to you.
Thank you.
And my relationship with you has been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. You know, a lot of people
work,
don't know
but
this
a pleasure.
Well, a lot of people, I know it has, and I apologize for that, tongue-in-cheek, because without your efforts and your connections, we would not have had one of the finest panels we've ever had on the CCP guidelines. And we reviewed so many countless research studies and current neuroscience which substantiates, you know, the evolution of chiropractic and what I call the ultimate adjustment above the spine. And, you know, that's where you and I have gone. And when I read the change, well, a lot of people never notice this. It's almost funny, Richard, but when people looked at the new guidelines, the last ones that were approved a few months ago, they did not even realize that in the revision of the guidelines, we removed the word vertebral from the title and throughout the document. I never had one person give me that feedback. And I was sure they just, you know, consciously read it in there. They didn't notice it. So I came out this week in a newsletter and told everyone what the difference was, because I want them to know that we're emphasizing the neurological component of the subluxation. And you're the leader in that as far as I'm concerned, and I'm here to help assist you and make your vision come true.
Well, thank you.
And we did a great job on CCP, so people have absolutely a scientific evidence-based set of guidelines that will allow them to practice with the NeuroInfinity and see the changes in the brain. And the way we defined subluxation, we know, you know, it is a neurological imbalance or distortion in the body associated with adverse physiological responses and or structural changes, which may become persistent and progressive. So, you know, that's different than what we had before. And we've opened the door to be able to build that bridge you're building between us and all the neuroscientists throughout the world. And that is an opportunity doctors are not aware of yet. Someday, probably after we're gone, they'll realize what we've done. They'll really appreciate us, Richard. But in the meantime, we know what we did.
Well, I hope so. I hope that's the whole goal with this, is to get this profession back to where it belongs. I just see it as bringing chiropractic home. I've had a great life with chiropractic. I've been able to change people's lives, and I owe a lot back to my profession. And so this was my way of paying it back. You know, it's just it works really well.
Let me thank you for your efforts on behalf of the entire profession. People need to know this, and we're going to tell them. And we're not only going to send out this link to this interview, but we're going to continue to send that out. We're going to put it in our library, and it's going to be available online for infinitum.
Super. Well, that's great. And if anybody wants to have conversations about this, please do so. You know, it's fun when you start talking to other health professionals about chiropractic, and they ask you what you do, and you say, you know, well, we deal with functional neurology. We actually change, and then you explain to them what the adjustment does, and they look at you and they go like, why didn't you guys say this in the first place? Because this makes sense. The rest of that stuff doesn't make any sense. So,
well, I will invite every one of our listeners. This is our audio series of interviews, but we're doing a video series. And they can watch that series if they register online at www.bioenergyvideotraining.com. And that's a free series of videos. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Give your wife a hug for me, and God bless you. I hope you have a great next 6 or 7 weeks on the road, and you turn a lot of people on to what we're doing.
And we're here if you need us.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell everyone again that it's Dr. Barwell at neuroinfinity.com. That's NeuroInfinity.
Yes.
And they can check out your website. Is it still www.neuroinfinity.com?
Yes, it sure is, and there's also a Facebook site that you can get through Dee Dee. If you contact Dee Dee, she'll hook you up, and that site is absolutely amazing of what we share, what's going on with people using this in their practice. So
Dee Dee's amazing. She taught me how to use the NeuroInfinity. She's done an incredible job and really helped our profession grow. So thank you for all your efforts, my friend.
Thank you, and we will meet you down the road somewhere.
Good. I look forward to it.
All right.
Take care and be well, Richard.
You too.
Bye-bye.